Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
There's a God of peace, and look at this next one. I call it the God of power that brought again the dead from the dead, our Lord Jesus. We could preach a whole series just on that little phrase, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the power of God. He raised the Lord Jesus. Well, I thought Jesus raised himself. He did, but this is the work of all the Trinity. Had a part in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's in a whole another lesson. But just like the creation, you know, all the triunity of God had part of the creation. You could see that in Genesis 1. Same thing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They all had a part in his resurrection. God's part was this, that through the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary, God was satisfied that Jesus paid the sin debt in full. So God put his divine stamp of approval on the work of Jesus. What Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, Isaiah 53 says, it pleased God. The old, a silly illustration, but you know, my mind's running. I got that ADD going. The old, what is that, good housekeeping seal of approval? You know, they put that good housekeeping. Well, because Jesus was raised from the dead, God was a part of that. God raised him from the dead. It was his seal of approval for what Jesus had done on the cross of Calvary. His shed blood, he paid it in full. It is sufficient. And that's what he's saying here. That brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. And now Jesus is sitting on the right-hand throne of God. Amen. And then we see that great shepherd. Consistent with the theme of Hebrews, that Jesus is superior in every way. He's not even a shepherd. He's not even a good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. There's nobody like him. Remember, from the very beginning, he's better. He's better. He's better. Why are you going back to the old system of Judaism? Christ is so much better. He's the great shepherd. He goes a little bit farther. And the blood of everlasting covenant. Under the old covenant, the sheep died for the shepherd. Remember, they would bring the sheep and to the priest, and the priest would kill the sheep for their sins or whatever it was. But the shedding of the blood of the goats and sheep never forgave sin. It covered it, the atonement, if you will, was a covering, until the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. So under the old covenant, the people brought the sheep. The sheep died for the shepherd. Under the new covenant, the shepherd died for the sheep. Isn't it so much better? He died for the sheep. And that's what he's saying, the blood of the covenant. And he did it once and for all. We talked about this, and the Jewish people knew about it. They'd have to bring their sacrifices over and over and over and over again. We talked about this. I got to finish. We just finished the book of Leviticus. If you're in going through daily bread, we're now in the book of Numbers. But Leviticus, all these sacrifices, time after time after time, they bring these sheep, the goats, the doves, whatever they would bring, time after time, year after year. But Jesus, it was once, that everlasting covenant, never again. And then verse number 21, to make you perfect in every good work. The word make you perfect, I love this, to mend or repair in order to make one what he ought to be. Oftentimes we think of the perfect, different definitions, as being sinless. Other times in the Bible it talks about being perfect, that you're mature. You're no longer a child, you're mature. This word perfect actually means to, like a bone is broken out of joint, and it's been fixed and repaired. We are all broken vessels. Amen and amen. And that's what this word means, to make you perfect. He's mended us. He's repaired us. Why did he do that? So that in every good work to do his will. By the way, in every good work, whatever we do, who was that? Ken told me about the word grow, an acronym. In our bulletin this morning, Casey has a wonderful thing about grace. Another one, Casey, is God's riches at Christ's expense. Another word, acronym for grace. Ken told me about one about grow. God rewards our work. God rewards our work. You grow. And so we talk about this perfect in every good work to do His will, not our will, but His will. We don't do what we do in order to do what we do. We do what we do in order to do what God wants us to do. Does that make any sense to y'all? I don't know. I just thought of this. I don't know. And I love this. Where that is well-pleasing in His sight. I underlined that. It, not my Bible. I've only underlined two things in my Bible. I didn't underline that. I may later. But in my notes, I underlined that well-pleasing. Isn't that what we ought to strive for in our life? To please God? And you can only do that through what He says. No, I didn't say it. Well-pleasing, every good work to do His will. But we have to do it through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. He gets the glory, not us. And then He says, amen. And then these closing words, I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. The word suffer literally means to put up with. Because I love this next phrase. For I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Paul, that's 13 chapters. What do you mean, a few words? Well, the reason he said in a few words, this subject about Jesus and His sacrifice is inexhaustible. You could write volumes and volumes that libraries couldn't hold. So he said, really, the subject matter is so vast, I broke it down to a few words. Now, to us, that's a lot of words, but you know what I'm saying, the thought. I want you, and the word exhortation literally means the book of Hebrews is a book of encouragement, not discouragement. Let that sink in. It's a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation. For I've written unto you a letter in a few words. And let me finish this and I'm done. So much could be said. Ain't this good, by the way? Verse number 23. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty. Again, I believe Paul is writing this. He says Timothy is free now. Obviously, Timothy was in prison somewhere, whether it was Paul with Paul or another place of imprisonment. He said now he's at liberty. He's free. With whom, if he comes shortly, I'll see you. Salute all them that had the rule over you. Isn't it amazing? Last chapter, he mentions three times about the ones who were in authority, the importance of it. Salute them. You know what the word salute means? Hey, great. Yeah. Minnie Pearl, you say this, and I know I'm dating myself. She had that price tag on her hat. Howdy. Y'all remember, wasn't that Minnie Pearl? I think it was Minnie Pearl. Okay. All right. That's what the word salute. Greet them in love and all. And then it says, all that have rule over you and all the saints. The word saints means holy ones. And I'm going to close with this. Do you know that you are a saint? Let that sink in. You are a saint. You are called out from God. Now, a lot of other religious leaders, but Paul never referred to people as Christians. Let that sink in. He never referred. Now, they were called Christians first at Antioch. Paul didn't call them Christians. The unbeliever called them Christians. But you'll never see in Paul's writing where he called somebody a Christian. Why? What is a Christian? Christ-like. How many Christ-like people do you know? Not very many, but you are a saint. Praise God. Are y'all mad at me? Most people get in the pulpit, we're all Christians. No, not really. There's very few people who are Christ-like, even this guy standing before you. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Got the hammer down everywhere. I shouldn't be, my mind is. But Paul said, and then all of Italy, these saints, they salute you. And then he says, grace be with you all, amen. What a way to close the letter to Hebrews. God's unmerited favor from the old covenant, the law, to the new covenant. It's all about grace. The message of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus Christ is superior to anyone or anything, and it's all by God's grace. And the grace of God is really the key to our living for Him. Amen and amen. Father, we love you. Lord, we stand amazed that we could call you Father, that you call us sons and daughters. It's only because of what Jesus did for us. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. Bless our morning worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.